Well, has everyone gone out and got their New Year's Day and New Year's Eve celebration stuff ready? That's what today is for the church. It is the last Sunday of our church year. We begin a new church year with Advent beginning next week. So as we move forward, Happy New Year. Grace and peace to you from our King of Kings, Jesus Christ. Today is called Christ the King Sunday, and it's been recognized by the organized church for about 100 years. And John, in his gospel, likes to ask questions. And his use of these questions that were asked by Jesus or were questioned to Jesus stand out. In our gospel text for Christ the King Sunday, Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Note, in John's gospel, he repeatedly uses the word king to describe Jesus. In fact, when Jesus calls his first disciples, Nathanael, better known to those of us that are older as Bartholomew, makes the initial declaration that Jesus is not only the Son of God, but the King of Israel. And in John 1st chapter, verse 49, Nathanael replies, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." In the 6th chapter of John, when Jesus perceives that the people are going to come and take him by force in order to instate him as the king, he retreats to a quiet mountainside. When Jesus enters Jerusalem on a donkey, he is greeted with the title, King of Israel. "Are you the King of the Jews?" Pilate asked Jesus. Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate then replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done? What have you done?" There once was a member of a congregation who tried to guilt the pastor for not recognizing everything he had done in the church by sending a text message list of his accomplishments after he had not been recognized for donating a large sum of money for a building project. At the end of the long list, being a Lutheran, he confessed that none of these accomplishments would earn him salvation. But he did say that some recognition would be nice. We are a bit broken in many ways as humans, and we're often selfish instead of selfless. In our quest to be recognized, we sometimes ask too much. I'm 100% sure that Jesus recognizes every single one of our accomplishments, good or bad. What have you done? To answer, Jesus could have described a long, long list of accomplishments: turning water into wine at the wedding feast, feeding the 5,000 with a few loaves and a few fish, healing the blind man, healing the deaf man, healing the woman with the hemorrhage, healing the lepers, and teaching thousands in the fields and the synagogues, walking on water and healing with dirt and spit. Jesus could go on and on and on about his accomplishments, including us. We are part of his accomplishments. What have you done? If you were asked that question today, how would you reply? When visiting with a person that may not have much time left with us in this life, pastors often ask questions, and they encourage the person to share their story. Or when visiting with a family preparing for a loved one's funeral, pastors encourage them to reminisce, to share stories as they give thanks for good memories that often will be a part of the pastor's funeral sermon. What have you done? For me, I like to remember the wonderful folks in this congregation that helped build the foundation of my faith here at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. In Sunday school, junior choir, youth group, confirmation, church council, and everything else, we continue to share the good news. My journey as a lay preacher is part of my answer to that question, and it's still not enough. People love to tell stories about how they met their spouse and the birth of their children. These are the most meaningful stories about our relationships with one another, not about how much money we made, or how big our house is, or the car we drive, or how much we accomplish. In the end, we remember and give thanks for those whom we have loved and to those who have loved us. Again, what have you done? In verse 36 of our gospel today, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." In this world today, people fight to keep their leaders in power, whether legal or not. Jesus' followers would have fought to keep him from being arrested, but Jesus would not allow them to fight, because as Jesus says three times in verse 36, his kingdom is not from this world. So what is Jesus' kingdom? Jesus' kingdom is the fulfillment of this world. Jesus' kingdom is this world recreated, but sinless and perfect and eternal. Jesus' kingdom is loving one another perfectly and forever. Jesus' kingdom is the wedding feast without end. Jesus' kingdom is the eternal feeling of giving a hug and a kiss to your children or your grandchildren when you haven't seen them for a long time. Jesus' kingdom is to worship and to sing with Jesus in the pews, smiling and welcoming every person of faith, no matter their stature in the community, their faults, or their burdens that they carry with them every day. Jesus' kingdom is definitely not from this world. If Jesus chose not to go to the cross, there would be no forgiveness and no resurrection. If we choose not to follow Jesus to the cross and not to live our lives of self-sacrifice for the needs of our loved ones, then there's no forgiveness and no resurrection. We are only and always saved by God's grace through our faith in Jesus Christ. Martin Luther shared how God's kingdom comes to us. He tells us in the Large Catechism that God's kingdom comes to us in two ways. First, it comes here in time through the word and faith. And second, in eternity, it comes through the final revelation. Now we ask for both of these things, that it may come to those who are not yet in it, and that by daily growth here and in eternal life hereafter, it may come to us who have attained it. So God's kingdom comes to us in these two ways. One way happens now, when we receive God's kingdom through the word and faith. The other happens in eternity, when it comes in the final revelation. Luther teaches us that when we pray for God's kingdom to come, we're praying that it will come in both of these ways. We're praying that God's kingdom would come to our world now through the word and faith, and we are praying that God's kingdom would come to us in its fullness through the second coming of Christ our King. A baptism, a confirmation, or a wedding celebration is a foretaste of the feast to come. They are parts of our faith relationship that teaches us about the self-sacrificial love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ. And as followers of Jesus Christ, as forgiven sinners, as lovers of one another, we follow Jesus to the cross and eventually to Easter morning, knowing as he knew that his kingdom was not of this world. In the meantime, though, we serve, we forgive, we love, and we hope. We mess up, and we live together, and we live knowing the truth. In verse 37, Pilate asks him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." May the truth of God through Christ Jesus and the promise of his kingdom move us forward in helping bring others into his kingdom by serving, by sharing, by giving, and loving others as he loves us. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, whose will it is to restore all things in your well-beloved Son, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, mercifully grant that the peoples of the earth, divided and enslaved by sin, may be freed and brought together under his most gracious rule, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.